11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp with you. JT Noah filling in for our producer, Drew. He'll be back next week. He's out at the Outer Banks, chilling on the ocean. Very jealous of that.
Walks on the beach.
The photos look beautiful, though, man. It does look gorgeous out there. So I hope he's having a great time. We're going to be joined by Josh Vernier around 12:30 today, our Royals insider, to find out if he thinks anything's going to happen on the trade front. I guess something could happen before we even have Vern on. We're keeping our eyes out there. There's some big moves happening in Major League Baseball. Nothing quite yet with the Kansas City Royals this afternoon's deadline. We'll get to the trade deadline a little bit later again, more, but also to our trash of the day in 20 minutes or so. You guys can hit us up on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. But the Royals are off today. Then they hit the road. They actually are going up north to Canada to begin a series against the Blue Jays, who have been playing as good as anybody in baseball for the last month. They look like they're going to win the American League East the way things are trending, especially with some of the injuries the Yankees are dealing with. The Red Sox have fallen off, even though they were very active in the deadline. The Blue Jays did acquire Shane Bieber today from the Guardians as well. He's coming off the 60-day IL. So you got three against the Blue Jays, three against those Red Sox, and then three against a divisional team in Minnesota before you come back home on August 11th. And yeah, the Twins are selling. The Guardians are selling. They're reportedly going to trade Kwan at some point this afternoon. They also have two pitchers, including their best, one of the best closers in baseball, Class A, on the commissioners or the
exempt list
for betting investigation.
I can't remember what they call it. But yeah.
So he's not available. And so, you know, it's through August at least. So they're done. Then we know there's teams like the Mariners who are going for it. But this road trip, I feel like we've said it a lot this year, admittedly. But now that it's August, I mean, this nine-game stretch, this is one you got to find a way to get four, right?
I would think so. At four, and so 4-5 is still a losing road trip. And as you and I know,
yeah.
I mean, normally on a road trip of that difficult schedule, I would say 4-5, 4-9 would be okay. The timing of the year, seeing how this starts on August 1st, I'd say you need, and especially because three of those games are against a team directly ahead of you in the second wild card spot right now instead of the third wild card spot. I think, and because Minnesota is not only not playing good baseball, they're also going to be without less good players by the time you face them 6 days from now.
Yeah, and it's so the last, it's the
I
last
think
two
five
series.
Out of nine.
It's the last two series that matter more. Like, obviously, you can't get swept by the Blue Jays, but also if you lose that series, the Blue Jays are going to probably, you're not worried about them in the wild card picture, most likely. And I understand, like,
and if they're going to win away 4-6 against Boston and Minnesota, win
exactly
the next two series.
That's really what it is. The Blue Jays series, yeah, you want to have a good showing, but it's about what do you do in the Boston series, because they're truly above you in the wild card. And the Minnesota, even if we think they're going to fall off, okay, go take advantage of that before your schedule eases up against the Nationals and White Sox. That's the beautiful thing. If you can have a decent road trip, then you have home series against the Nationals, who are not very good and who are also selling some pieces.
White Sox
and then
horrible.
The White Sox, who are still one of the worst teams.
And the Rangers,
of all baseball.
Another team ahead of you in the wild card, another team you can make your own fate. You know, you get to decide where your team finishes. So in the next 2 weeks, the road trip is huge. Because I'll be honest, for a team that is playing much better baseball since the All-Star break, hitting much better since the All-Star break, hitting much better since like really the beginning of or the middle of June, early July, they've been a much better team. Maybe not quite that far back, but like early July, they've been a much better team. But because the way baseball works, it is still a long season and there is still somehow borderline a third of the season still left to play, which seems kind of remarkable. It's not quite that, but it's close enough to that. That you're like, oh, there's still 50 games left to play in this season. The clock is starting to tick. I think August 1st is the like, hey, it's kind of like, I view it kind of like week 8 of the NFL season. If you're 4-4 or you're 3-5, it's not over for you yet at 3-5, but the clock's ticking and time's up. Like last year, I remember specifically Cincinnati was like a 3-5 team. And that was the moment that we all discussed, and rightfully so, like, yeah, but you can't keep screwing around. Like, you better start winning now or you're going to come up short in the playoffs. And then week 18 mattered to them, and it didn't matter to a bunch of other teams, and you couldn't be in that position. I think they need to go 5-9. Five and four. Yeah, win 5-9.
Well, that would be a great road trip as far as I'm concerned,
it'd be an incredible one.
They can't do any worse than 4-5, though. That's what I'm saying.
It's like
4-5 at least keeps you kind of in the same spot. And I know we can't keep saying, oh, stay in the same spot. You got to make up ground. I'm just saying, you're probably not asking yourself to make up ground in a road trip of nine games involving Toronto. That's all I'm saying.
Back in the playoff spot right now.
Yeah. I mean,
like, they're firmly, like, but that's why it's not that many. That's like, that's close to a playoff spot.
But that's why it has to at least be 4-5. And that's also what's tricky about that though. While Cleveland in Minnesota seem to be waving the white flag, you saw last night the Mariners are positioned as well as anybody. And they currently, I believe, have the final wild card spot. So how do you catch them? How do you leapfrog them? That's really, really a challenge. I mean, yeah, could the Royals play well enough where they're the first team out of the postseason? Sure, that doesn't get you anything. You know, like that just makes you even more frustrated if they end up literally being one spot out at the end of the day. But this road trip is crucial. And then, as I said, it eases up. You get 6 games this month against the White Sox.
The Royals are the Blue Jays are 9-5 this month, or since the All-Star break. And I was like, well, that seems crazy. I was like, I thought maybe they were catching the Blue Jays at a good time because they had just lost 4 games in a row. They have 2 different 4-game winning streaks and just won their last game. I don't think there is a good time to catch the Blue Jays. If you're thinking, well, they lost 4 games in a row before they won this last one. Yeah. Well, they won a lot of other games this month before that. The Royals are playing good baseball right now. They've won what? 7 games since the All-Star break. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games and are playing much better offense and just playing better baseball. And those were against Cleveland, a team who was still in it at the time. Atlanta, a team who's long since shipped. And Chicago, the Cubs, who have the best record in the National League at the time they faced them. So they've played some good baseball, but it's like you're going to have to keep doing it.
Would you agree that we'll know by, I mentioned this road trip and then Nationals and White Sox homestand, basically the next 2 weeks, okay, the next 15 games or so, 16 games.
Mid-August, yeah. August 21st is the date I'd like to give you. That's the end of a 4-game set against Texas, a team that is currently in the final wild card.
We'll know if it's over or not. We won't know if they're in it, but we'll know if it's like, if the door is completely shut, I think.
I'm saying 3 weeks, not 2.
The one thing to watch this weekend and tomorrow with the Blue Jays, we don't know if they'll get a couple of their guys back healthy. George Springer dealing with a head injury. He's day-to-day. He got hit in the head by a pitch on Monday, so you want him to recover, but also will he be available for the series? And then Alejandro Kirk, their catcher, is on the 7-day concussion list. I believe that was started on the 27th, so he will not be available this weekend. So a couple injuries for the Blue Jays, if you're asking, looking for reasons why, okay, maybe it's something where they can do something in Toronto.
Royals also haven't announced a starter for Saturday. As a reminder, Hugh had said Noah Cameron is available, and that would be his normal spot. But I think they're kind of holding out to see if they're going to get somebody else in the deadline, which we can talk about more coming up here in just a little bit. We'll definitely get back to the deadlines. The Royals have not made a move yet today, but there have been several big moves in baseball, including late last night, if you missed, Eugenio Suarez ended up heading to Seattle. Shane Bieber is heading to Toronto in a deal. So maybe, I don't know, maybe he's going to start one of the 3 games, although he's just coming back from the injured list in Toronto. And then obviously the number 3 overall prospect, Mason Miller, got moved for the Padres, number 3 overall prospect. And so he's heading over to the Padres as well. So there's been some big action in baseball so far, just not as much from the Royals just yet. You know, you've given me a hard time a couple of times for a poker game that I host at my home.
And I've warned you, I say you are doing illegal activity at your home. Stop hosting these underground gambling events.
I don't know if that's the case, but all of a sudden I'm a little bit more worried. Gold, did you have the pleasure of playing a news report that came out yesterday as Gilbert Arenas had been arrested for apparently holding an underground poker game?
But what federal prosecutors are alleging is that he has been running this high-level, illegal poker operation out of a home in the Encino area of L.A., and not just having a couple of buddies come by and play poker, but that this was a very well-planned out, well-organized operation with 5 other co-conspirators involved in this, including a member of an Israeli transnational crime group, according to federal prosecutors. But they say that this was something where they had hired women who would help out in the operation and give what they call companionship to those who were playing in the game, that they had armed security guards, that they had chefs that were hired for all of these, and that a lot of money was involved. They had security guards to make sure the wrong people weren't getting into all of this. They had a rake, a fee, the house charges. So they say this was well organized. All were arrested today. A number of agencies involved. Arenas was arrested today as well. facing charges. And if convicted, everybody involved could get 5 years in federal prison.
So that's a report from, I think, KTLA in regards to former NBA player Gilbert Arenas, who, by the way, since has pled not guilty, has bailed him, you know, was able to get bailed out. He sent out a tweet that said, "I'm back on the streets. They ain't got bleep to do with me. This ain't got bleep to do with me. Just rented the house. Wasn't a part of it." And shows him dancing down the steps.
I have no idea. The courthouse steps.
I have
and then posted
no,
a segment said, "They can't hold me with him coming out of a car."
I have no idea of the end result of this, obviously. His name being in this, like, obviously given his prior history and stuff, he's found himself in situations that are obviously not great throughout his career and throughout his life. What they described there, other than the high stakes amount, because I don't know, it sounds like your normal poker.
I don't know about everything.
You have security, you have rake, you have people there for companionship. You have chefs. Cody doesn't have chefs. You cook yourself. The Chipino that gets people sick. Otherwise, it sounds exactly like how you do your games. You might want to be careful. The FBI would be knocking on your door.
I feel like there's some missing elements that they had in their game that are not a part.
You taking a rake?
I do not take a rake.
You should be good, then.
I will say.
You should be safe.
That's lesson number one. If you're just thinking, like, I'm going to host a home poker game, and I'm thinking it'd be fun, and you got a bunch of rich buddies, so you want to play up the stakes a little bit. Nowhere close to whatever the hell these people are playing for, but I've played it higher than my normal stakes before in a home poker
game. This guy was running, allegedly, maybe it's like Molly's game or something.
When we do the in-between game for my family, I've seen, you know, thousands of dollars on the table, but we don't take a rake. That's step one. If you haven't watched Molly's Game 1, excellent movie, as you'd mentioned, Nicole. Very, very good movie. Don't take a rake. That's step one of the keep your poker game legal part of this. I got to say, Gilbert Arenas' involvement in this, it is, unfortunately
potential
for him.
Involvement, yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately for him, he has had so many things come up over the years that while he might not have been involved in this, he might have just rented his mansion. Mm-hmm. I don't know, man, he's just involved in other stuff. He was a part of the gun incident over personal gambling stuff, obviously, in the locker room.
Yeah, the gambling stuff, him and gambling just haven't really blended very well. It's usually got him in some trouble.
I'd say he might want to find a different hobby. That was back in 2010 or whatever it was.
The whole locker room thing, yeah.
Yeah, it was a huge, I think there's I felt like I saw that there was a 30 for 30 type thing.
There was. That. Yeah, there was a yes.
Oh, was
there?
Was it good?
There's a documentary.
Did you watch it?
I did not, but there is one that's out there with, they interview, what's his name? That was part of the
Crittenden
situation.
Right? Wasn't that his name?
Yep. Yeah, it's the documentary with Javarius Crittenden, yeah.
Okay. Man, I gotta
say. Gilbert Arenas back in the day, though, man. Guy, for his entire career, averaged, 20 points.
Techline says, as long as I don't take a rake, it's not illegal, man.
Yeah, I think you're safe. I'm giving you a hard time. I think you're good, but this is why I don't go to Cody's poker games, you know. Too high stakes. He's got professional
high stakes. I don't have professional players.
Food provided, companionship provided.
There's
no
companionship provided. By the way, is that the most polite way ever to say that he probably had call girls at this thing?
Yes.
That those were apparently available at these poker games to these individuals. That is the softest. I'm trying not to get sued way ever of putting. They had what they called companions. What do you mean companions? That's an interesting way of putting that. Mm-hmm. Feels like a real dangerous setup.
Someone says, make sure you get Crittenden's names right, Gold, after yesterday. That's true.
Yeah, you know
that
what?
Is true.
We got to look up
Terrell Owens, by the way, guys. If you're just joining, it's Terrell Owens.
Did anybody miss the show yesterday? Gold, would you like to remind people how we had
it's Terrell Owens, not Terrell Owens.
Important to note, yes. Terrell Owens was on the show yesterday.
Yeah, it's Terrell, not Terrell.
Really happy he was able to join us.
I'm glad he did call in. Yeah.
Thanks for coming on. Love to have you on again. We'll get your name right for the rest of time.
Yeah. I think there's some listeners that want to go to your poker game.
Oh, yeah?
Sting operation, I think, is what they call that.
What, are you guys cops and you're trying to, screw it up? I swear to God, we play low stakes. I don't know any other way to put it. I don't know. It depends on what people consider low stakes. Most people buy them for, 50 or 100 bucks. That's pretty low stakes, right?
I don't know if you want to share too much detail.
That's it.
Yeah.
I just said 50 or 100 bucks.
Yeah, just your buddies. You and your buddies can play poker. I think Cody has elevated his poker setup, though.
I think other people have elevated. Mine is still low level.
If you're just hanging out with some buddies, you can bet with each other. That's not a problem. That's not illegal. When you start hosting games and the stakes go up and all that, and you're taking
I've just been invited
the house
games.
Is taking in money, that's when all of a sudden it becomes a crime.
Never
then you got a problem.
Never take a rake. You know my game will have gotten too high if I start the next level stuff of some of the games I've attended. I'm not willing to.
Have you considered not hosting these at your house anymore?
No, I kind of like
going somewhere else.
That's kind of I kind of like it's nice being in your own home base. I've got the chips, you know. Like, what's the
don't take a rake, man?
I won't take a rake.
You're gonna be like Gilbert Arenas.
I will say you've asked me before. Like people have always like the question has always been like, are you worried like the game's gonna get robbed? I'm like, oh, I know everybody's coming to my game. Keep getting robbed. That's crazy.
Well, sounds like there's some cash flowing, man.
Where we're getting robbed? The game's getting robbed
security
now?
Security guards might be a necessity for
is
you.
Is that
yeah.
next? Then I'm one step closer to the Gilbert Arenas game. Would you come and be security for the game?
Oh, yeah, it's going to help. Yeah, it's going to really help you.
Oh, man, that's real helpful right there.
Have JT stand out front.
Put me and Nathan.
JT just is having in a black shirt, and he's just standing at your garage door. He's just standing there so nobody can get in.
Yeah. Also, the only reason I would want to see you get arrested and then released is to see you dance down the stairs. Like
I'll make you a promise. If I get arrested, I'll dance.
You'll
and I'm
dance
innocent.
Down the courthouse steps.
I gotta be innocent. I can't be getting arrested. I can't be. Is
that the international sign of being innocent? If he danced, is that how they? He danced down the court steps, he must be innocent.
Oh yeah, he's innocent. He's dancing down in his flip flops.
You know. Someone says you also can't be giving out loans, Cody, and then charging interest. You know,
are
that
you?
Would also
are
no,
you?
I'm not giving out
loan
loans.
Shark as well. Wow, you got a lot of things going on.
I'm not loan sharking for the game.
Hmm.
No, just a low stakes poker game. I want you to come one.
This is why
one time.
I don't. This is why I haven't gone
one time.
Trying to stay out of trouble.
Just
you know,
one time.
Mm-hmm.
You've never gambled. You've never gone.
I don't think so.
Wow.
Did you say I've never gambled? Yeah, that's right.
No,
I've never gambled in my life.
I know
life. That is
gambled.
That is
you were
true.
Talking about how happy you were to stretch out tonight.
To, like, so people will ask everyone, so like, but they know Gold's into the sports wagering. So like, this seems like a natural environment for Gold. Mm. I said, Gold is what I would, like, Gold loves sports wagering. Gold is not just like a gambler to gamble. Gold doesn't just like bet on things to bet on. I'll bet on like the next color of the car that comes down the side road. That's not like, so like there's like, I think there's just like a difference. I'm just a degenerate. Gold likes sports. Gold likes controlled wagering that he feels like he's got a lot of
I like throwing some dice at the craps table,
but you know, like I think by the way, what color do you think the next car is? Come on, $5. Next one to come down this little side road.
Black. I mean, it's a safe bet.
Okay. Nobody owes anything if you get the color wrong. I'll tell you, God, if you're going safe bet, I got to go like blue or white.
I'm going red.
Red? I feel like you got to get odds to get red. I'll take white. God, who knows how long it'll be till a car comes down this little side road.
Watch us miss
you pick the side road, not Shawnee Mission Parkway.
That's too high up there. I don't want to pay that far attention.
Well, that was a black car that I wanted to buy up
Plus,
there.
Plus, I wanted the bet to last a little bit, you know?
Okay. All right, let's get to the trash.
Trash of the day.
People are guessing what else you do, Cody. You want to know if you own a car wash as well.
I don't laundry.
Do you own a laundromat as well?
You know what? If you were a loan shark, I would not be scared of you, honestly. I'll be honest.
All right, trash.
I'm the least intense loan shark ever.
All right, this one, I mentioned the headline yesterday, and you started laughing immediately. This just, new mothers in America have found a way to earn some extra diaper cash. There's a side hustle that is getting more popular, selling their breast milk to bodybuilders.
What?
This is a real thing.
Okay.
This woman named Kiera Williams is a mother. She claims she's able to charge 50 cents per ounce for her own personal pre-mixed protein shake for new moms. $2 an ounce for the bodybuilders.
Oh, that's nice. She charges less to the new moms versus the bodybuilders. It was silver, by the way. Silver was the answer of the car. Okay. Silver, okay. I'm afraid.
All right. She claims she made as much as $800 in one day by selling this. She sold more than 7,000 ounces over the past 8 months. You want to do some quick math on that, Cody?
7,000 ounces. She's made
as much as 800 a single day. Sold
can more, I call it a dollar an ounce just to be?
Sure. 7,000 ounces over the past 8 months.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, pretty simple if you're just doing that. But
A dollar an ounce,
sure. But sure. Yeah.
I mean.
So that's enough radio for today, guys, for these conversations.
First off, you
it's
need
the trash
gains,
of the day.
You need gains so bad in the gym. That you are out here.
You can't just go get some creatine. You can't just do your own protein. You can't go to Supplement Superstore and get your own mix. You got out here. You have to go get breast milk from a mother.
Yeah. Hit a GNC or a Supplement Superstore or one of the other, like, and just get like some, honest to God, Gold. Awesome. If they just said, all right, Gold's decided this fall he's getting ripped. Mm-hmm. He's going to have a six-pack. He's going full Marvel diet.
Sounds good
and
to me.
Your choices were either you had to continue to do protein shakes in which you knew were breast milk.
Nope.
Or you just got actual steroids.
Wow. One can really cause some problems for you down the road.
But it's a short stint. It's just a cycle. You don't have to be on them forever. Both are a three-month thing. Three-month cycle of real full-blown steroids or breast milk.
Long-term health, I think you'd probably choose the breast milk. Otherwise, disgusting. And I'll just choose the roids, I guess.
Yeah. So, I don't know which side of that it's on, but someone said, no bodybuilders, just a bunch of creeps.
Someone says, Gold, if you did that, maybe you wouldn't pass out at the gym. That's true. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's what caused that. I didn't pass out. I almost passed out.
I don't think you can reasonably bring this up. From the 913, someone said, my wife's
pregnant. It's a judgment-free zone at the gym that I go to. So if you're doing this, they're not going to judge, you know?
From the 913, my wife's pregnant. I know we'll be selling in 6 months. You cannot be the person who suggests this. She has to carry the baby, birth it, feed the baby, like if she's breastfeeding, all this other stuff. And then on top of you, like, hey, honey, I was thinking, it's a little extra side cash. What if we also sell your breast milk, hopefully not to creeps, and just guys at the gym trying to get buff? And you're like, you can't be the person who brings it up. If she says, hey, for a little extra side cash, I'm thinking about selling some of my breast milk, fine. She brought it up, whatever. You cannot be the person who suggests the side hustle is, let's sell your breast milk.
That's gross. Now, good for her. She's making money, and clearly there's people buying it. There's a market for it, but I mean, that's no. Could you imagine if someone came in one of those blender bottles and you're in the blender bottle and like, oh, what are you mixing up there? Oh, it's this lady that I've been selling her breast milk. No, absolutely not.
There's no situation in life in which that is going to feel like a comfortable purchase. Like, I don't care how much bodybuilding or the gym part.
Someone says, what a waste. Why is she selling it? Stuff is like gold. Feed your baby.
Well, I'm assuming her baby is also fed.
Yeah.
Some people produce more than their baby can eat. Have you ever seen people's like freezers full of it?
I'm going to let Cody keep talking. Now Cody's going to give us a whole lesson on...
I'm not going to give you a lesson. I'm just going to say like people stash that stuff. It's a thing.
Uh-huh.
Is it a black market
kind of thing?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, I don't know if it's
a black
market.
That's another thing that Cody sells at his poker games. He's got a fridge full.
He's just underground down this alley,
it's an above board
underground
thing.
Milk and well, underground also, poker games.
People
apparently.
Also donate it for those in need and other stuff. Yeah. I mean, it's like.
Have you
know.
Ever tried it?
Me?
Yeah.
No. I haven't.
Well, someone on the text line goes, my wife just had their first baby and I tried it. It tastes like Fruit Loops.
There's a lot. There were other people in the text line just saying it's too sweet. They thought too sweet for their.
Oh, see, I thought it would be like sour or something.
I've never tried it. I can't speak to its taste. I'm sorry.
Well, you're the only one with kids.
I tell you the truth. I'm an honest person on this show, but you know.
JT. That's the trash of the day.
Would you try it?
No. Up next, we're going to get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. We're not going to talk about poker or milk. We're going to talk about goals and sack numbers for certain Chiefs players. That's next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net.
People are guessing on the text line, 913-586-7965, that cloudy with the chance. Our meteorologist, when we're up in training camp, will be back there tomorrow. They now think JT is the meteorologist.
Is it you, JT?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, no. Okay.
I wish I was a weatherman, though, because I feel like it would be really fun to be like... looking at a green screen and then predicting things. Like, we predict the things a lot here. I feel like we're almost like weathermen in a sense because we're predicting things for sports while they're predicting the weather. And sometimes you're right, sometimes you're wrong.
I mean, just with weather, people take it a lot more serious.
Well, yeah, there's like way more.
The hate mail weathermen must get.
Could you imagine?
I had my kid's sixth birthday party planned for Saturday and you ruined it.
If you told me that, like, we have a text line that people can obviously text in the show.
Oh my God.
Busby or whoever, right? Whether you're a meteorologist, whether you're just a reporter or an anchor on, on, on any of the local stations, if they just had a live text line that they were seeing while they were on the air, can you imagine on the television side? Because we get some wild texts, too.
I imagine if it's like streaming live on Facebook, that's about as close as you could get.
That's true, but they're probably but they're not following. They're not tracking that.
That sounds like a nightmare. Mm-hmm. Even just like some of the people we've had on the show regularly. Mackenzie Nelson has shown me some of the crazy stuff.
Oh, on Instagram, yeah.
Like, I mean, just like insane things. Like wear different shoes. And you're like, what? Like, yeah, this is no good. You're like, okay, this is a nightmare. No, so I hope for their sake they don't have it.
All right, let's talk some Chiefs football. We will be at back up in St. Joe tomorrow, I should say, and we'll have a member of the Chiefs join us. Maybe it's Mike Dana, I don't know. And Mike Dana was talking earlier in the week about goals for this upcoming season. He's back with the team. He's 27 years old, and he said his goal this year is eight sacks. Eight sacks for 2025. That's his personal goal, obviously. Ultimately, the team has a different goal in mind. And you take a look at Mike Dana last year, down in the sack total after having an increase every single year he has been a pro. His rookie year, 2.5 sacks. Then he had 3. Then he had 5. 2023, he had 6.5. And then last year, now he only played in 13 games compared to 16. He goes from 6.5 sacks down to 3.5. So if you would have had another
5 sack guy.
I mean, you would argue last year, if I would have told you he was going to have 8 sacks, you would have said, sure. He had 6.5 the year before. Oh, yeah, 8. He's just going to keep increasing his total. Now that he had a setback in only 3.5 sacks, do you believe he can have the most sacks he's ever had in his career? For me, I'll just take him getting back to the 6.5 number. Can he get back to what he was 2 years ago? 6.5 sacks season. 8, that's a big increase from 3.5.
I appreciate the fact that he got better every single year in his career in the just sack, tackle for loss category. Like, he got better. Quarterback hits. They all went up every year he was a starter. Now, I think some of that was just increased playing time. The simple parts.
Mm-hmm.
The year that he had 6.5 sacks, he was a starter for 16 games. In the previous 3 years, he had started 7 total. So, like, some of it, gold, was just a volume thing.
No, 12 starts last year, and it was only 3.5, though.
Yeah, but up to that point, he was a volume shooter, and I think that that's truthfully what Mike Dana is. Honestly, I'll just take, I don't even need the 6.5. I take 5, 5.5. A player like that has value just as long as, because if he gets 5, that to me means probably Charles Omenihu got some real snaps. Because he should have some snap competition against a guy like Omenihu or a guy like Gelati or Omar Norman Lott with Chris Jones going outside more than he has in the previous years. Or hell, even Felix, if he can continue to grow. Some people should be getting some snaps over Mike Dana in a situation in which the defensive line has gotten better. He, to me, is just the perfect example of a ideal rotational defensive end for most NFL teams. He's not an ideal starter. And to get 8 sacks, he would have to be an ideal starter. And I'll just be honest, I don't think he's that player. I think we've seen his ceiling. And his ceiling was 2 years ago when he played all 16 games and he got 6.5 sacks. And you're trying to improve off of that with a different player.
If he had 8 sacks, it would almost make you think they had some serious injuries on the defensive line. That, you know, Charles Omenihu once again wasn't able to have a full season, or that Omar Norman Lott did not progress, or he got hurt. I think it would take something like that. There's unknowns, no doubt, on this defensive line outside of Karlaftis, outside of Chris Jones, and in my opinion, outside of Omenihu, because I told you, I think he's going to have a very nice year now that he's finally healthy out of camp and not dealing with suspension, not dealing with an ACL recovery and all that. But the rest of the O-line, while it's unknown, there is a chance that we're sitting here, I don't know, 2 months into the season, and Omar Norman Lott all of a sudden becomes a guy that you're counting on and that you feel good about Omenihu and Karlaftis and Jones, and while you're disappointed, maybe considering where you drafted Felix, that this defensive line you actually feel way better about by week 6 than you do now, than you did at the end of last season, as far as what the future holds for the defensive line. I'm not saying they're going to hit on both Gelati and Norman Lott right now.
And Tillery's good. Yeah. Everyone else,
but Tillery's a nice veteran piece to have. I think there's a look at the resources they put in the defensive line this offseason. They used 2 draft picks, 1 fairly high draft pick on the defensive line. They signed Tillery. They went out and brought back Charles Omenihu. They gave an extension to Carl Lofts. I know he wasn't going to be leaving, but still, they've invested in the D-line this offseason. And I still think, depending how it goes, they might be using a first-round pick next year on the defensive line. Maybe less likely now that Carl Lofts is locked up. If Norman Lott turns out to be something, then maybe they don't have to feel like they have to use a first-round pick next year on defensive lineman. But that's still in the cards, depending on what we see. But if they get the production, it would be right now. Yeah, if they get the production out of Norman Lott, and you feel good about what you're seeing from Jones, that there's not a fall off again like you had last year from a sack perspective. He still was very effective. But
somebody asked me, hey, have we completely given up on Felix at this point? No, not to the sense that, like, I don't think he deserves to be on an NFL team. What I would tell you about Felix is I hope he now reaches Mike Dana's ceiling. If you look at the first 2 years of Mike Dana's career, he had better sack numbers, but a steady incline, right? Felix in his first year had half a sack, 7 quarterback hits, 14 tackles. In year two, he got better. 2.5 sacks, 27 total tackles. Same number of QB hits, but more pressures overall. So if you're like, Felix got better from year one to year two, they need Felix to get better from year two to year three, just like Mike Dana did. But right now, if you just told me, hey, Cody, you want to lock in Felix Anudike-Uzomah turning into Mike Dana? I'll take it. That's not worth what he was picked at the 31st or 32nd overall pick, but that is an effective NFL player who has value to your team. Mike Dana has value to your team.
Sure.
I haven't given up on him in the sense that he has no value to the team. I've let it pass that he's turning into George Karloftis at his ceiling.
Right.
I think his ceiling is probably a guy like Mike Dana now, a rotational defensive lineman with value. But if Dana is that and Felix is that, and let's say Gelati is that, and now you're telling me I get to rotate 3 fresh bodies of equal competency, well, then my defensive line is better just because I'm fresh. Lots of teams do it the way I'm talking about, where it's not about having 2 elite guys who play 99% of the snaps, like Chris Jones, and there's another dude who plays as much as he does, but instead, multiple guys who can get to the quarterback if it's their time to be called. That's what I want Felix to turn into at this point, truthfully. I don't know where you're at on Felix, but that's kind of where I am.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would lock in a 3-5 sack season in a heartbeat for him. Clearly, I know the age thing was something I was bringing up last year, and at some point, though, this is now year 3. He's still a very young player, but if you're going to be one of those really special players, you're probably showing something by now that you're going to flip into what you thought you were getting when you drafted him in the first round. What you're kind of saying is, Can he prove that he can be in the league, though, for another 5 or 10 years? Well, yeah, if he's a 3-5 sack guy, then he's going to be in the league for a very long time. That is still what he has a chance to be, but I think that is the ceiling. And that's not hating at this point in time. Like, you know, you 2 years ago, like, I don't think that would have been fair given his age and given the injury. We're entering year 3 now. So far at camp, it's non-existent, all of that on top of what we saw last year. You know, the Super Bowl 2 years ago, he made his best play of his NFL career. He thought that was a launching point. Never really was. He's going to be a 3-5 sack guy probably in best case scenario years for him.
Tigers have acquired another deal. Kind of a little baseball music, JT. What do we think here? A little baseball music for a deal. Jeff Passan reporting the Detroit Tigers are finalizing a deal to acquire closer Kyle Finnegan from the Washington Nationals.
Who's that name last year?
ESPN. Tigers have been on the move. They understand they got a really good team. They got one of the best teams. That's an easy time to buy when you're in that situation, when you're in the Tiger spot, when you've got the best record in the American League or the second best record in the American League. Kyle Finnegan currently not having a great year, 4.38 ERA in 40 games pitched 65 games for the Nationals last year with a 3.68 ERA. So he is their closer, and he's certainly a 20 save guy this year, 38 last year, 28 the year before. Don't know if he'll go in that closer spot.
No,
he's
going to be a late inning reliever, I think. Yeah. Just going to be a guy that they can pitch in the eighth. And obviously, if their closer's unavailable, he can give him an opportunity there.
Yeah,
makes a lot of sense.
I was kind of waiting to see what the return was before I gave the music out, but you went ahead and did it. I was like, all right, cool. But yeah, I think
we'll see the return.
I think it's going to be good for Detroit. They needed a late inning guy. Kyle Finnegan hasn't shown it this year, but he's done it in the past. So.
I'll tell you right now, if the return's really good, I'm going to once again reiterate the thing I said earlier in the show, which is, if the market, like, I want to see exactly what Finnegan gets. It's a late inning reliever not having a good year. The Royals have a couple of late
Hunter
relievers.
Harvey. That's a Stephen Cruz. That's a, you know, that's the type of player we're potentially talking about as well. Yeah, I'd be interested to see what it takes. The Royals do play the Nationals on the next homestand, so make them weaker. That works too.
Yeah, another.
You're not catching the Tigers anyway, so worry about
you. No, you got to play the Tigers still. Right? Yeah. How many more games they have left against the Tigers? Six, probably.
We looked it up before the show. I think it is 6 against them, 4 against the Guardians, 6 against the White Sox. I think that's the breakdown.
Yeah, and the 4 against the Guardians are in Cleveland.
And they got, the Twins too, obviously, for a handful of games.
Yep.
But, okay. Yeah, keep an eye out on the return at least. Certainly not unimportant, considering the fact that, you know, we'll be outside there.
Yeah, the trade deadline, remember, is at 5 o'clock our time today. So this is not the same as the NFL a lot of times where it's like that 3 o'clock time frame. No, yeah, it's the early evening. It is at 6 Eastern, 5 o'clock our time. And remember, the Royals are not traveling to Toronto for their series with the Blue Jays until after. So later on this evening. Otherwise, they would have already probably, I don't know, maybe they'd be leaving now.
Leave around midday for like a road trip like that, especially one out of the country where there's a little bit more stuff with it. But yeah, they're going to go ahead and wait.
Someone says, is it the Red Half Hour? Yes, our apologies on MLB trade deadline day. We spent 2 minutes talking about a trade that just happened in the Royals division.
It's trade deadline day. We're going to try to keep you up to date on the MLB trades as the day goes throughout. We were just talking about Dana.
It was two A-ball players they got back.
So gold.
Two A-ball pitching prospects go to D.C.
But we, you know, because we are the show up at camp, the only show in Kansas City, live from training camp, as many times as they send us. We'll be back up there tomorrow and 3 times next week. I don't know if you saw yesterday, one training camp battle is already done.
Completely over.
A shoe has dropped. The Chiefs have cut the guy's name, who I don't remember. The other punter is gone. Matt Araiza has won the job. How do you feel, Gold? Matt Araiza, is he good enough to just be winning the job on July 31st? Real iffy as a punter last year, I'm going to say.
You have
real iffy.
Wide receiver injuries that forced you to go sign some free agent wide receivers, Kwame Lassiter, for example, because you need depth. You have to have a certain amount of wide receivers to operate a training camp to work through the reps. You can't have Rashee Rice getting every single rep during training camp.
And they're missing Sky Moore and Worthy.
So if you're going to struggle with roster numbers during preseason and everything, you can't have the luxury of keeping two punters. And so, yeah, Matt Araiza, I think there's questions about, can he, you know, get the coffin corner punt down? Can he not just boot it into the end zone every time? We know he's got the leg. Can he have a little more of the touch, if you will? But yeah, it's over for what was the guy's name again?
It was Eddie, C and a Z in it.
Eddie Zaplicki or something.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember his name. So maybe he never had a chance. We didn't even know.
Well,
his name.
Think he'll get picked up by somebody else and end up punting this year for another team.
You think so? Well, I mean, I don't know anything about him. Was he punting somewhere else before? Like, I'm not married to the idea that Matt Araiza wins the job, despite the fact that we have a personal relationship with him now.
Got it.
He did not come to the show yet. Should we get Matt Araiza on the show? You want to get Matt Araiza up from
camp?
He's
on the list. He's on the list. We've given a full list of players.
Tell him I deleted that shirtless photo of him.
Yeah, that was weird that you just took a photo
of him. I was trying to figure out who he was, and I thought if I took a photo, maybe I could zoom in and see who it was. It makes sense if you think about it. And I deleted it to respect his privacy.
Don't tell him that you took a photo. That's a little weird.
I haven't seen him out on the... Does he not care about getting in shape anymore? What happened? I haven't seen him out doing a jog. He only did that the one time. He said it was hard to get his regular workout in occasionally because of meetings
and
stuff.
We have doing something weird. Former NFL coach texting to the show from the 913. You guys are so dumb about Matt Araiza.
Oh, okay. Let me hear.
Please
They've been watching the All-22?
Please, special teams coordinator for, you know, 25 years ago or whoever you are, please text me. Give me your punting breakdown of what are we so dumb about. What did we say that was so dumb about Matt Araiza? Please give me your breakdown.
He has not been a good detailed punter inside the 20. He obviously has a pretty big leg. Speaking of special teams, have you noticed the same thing I did? Every day when we leave training camp at 2, it does not matter how hot it is. Dave Tobe is on a 10-speed mountain bike.
He always bikes, man.
Going up the top of the hill. It was like 115-degree heat index the other day as we were leaving at 2 o'clock. And sure enough, right at 2, same time every day, here comes Dave Tobe up the hill on his bike. Have you noticed him? I don't know if it's just me that's paying attention to this, Gold, or if we've both been paying attention to Dave Tobe's regular biking habits.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the guy that was looking all 22 film of the punting last year to break it down for me, since we're so dumb talking about it. I'm waiting for that text.
Like
to
a different
come
person
in.
Said from the 816. Yep, all 22 guys like the Gunners.
The worst.
Not
I mean,
the
absolute
enough
worst. Nothing's worse than the former football coach, or just or actually, what's even worse is the guy on Twitter that paid $9.99 for the NFL all access thing for the film breakdown on all 22 that now thinks he's an expert on everything football. There's nothing worse than that.
I very much want to set up a scenario where all 22 guy on Twitter, the one who you know doesn't actually know what they're looking, you know, occasionally people actually know what they're looking at, but the people who you know probably don't know what they're looking at on this. When they're like, oh man, should have come over on that weak side. And you're like, okay, sure, man. I want them to have to sit down and watch it with Steve Spagnuolo, and without him saying a word, then break down what they think it is that they're seeing on the all 22 film, and then have Spags come on this show and explain how wrong they are. I want nothing more than that. You'd be like, that's not even what the defense is. He couldn't go over there. It's not designed on the play, all 22 guy. And just force them to sit in a film session. I don't care who does this. I don't care who sets this up. I just want to watch. It didn't even have to be on the show. I just want to witness it. I want a moment where somebody has to sit down with Dave Tobe and tell him when the Gunner's not getting there fast enough. And Dave Tobe look at him and be like, are you an idiot, sir? Are you stupid? That's
someone,
not even what's
someone
happening
said
here.
Maybe was it the gear texting it? I don't know.
The gear. One of the Chiefs' all-time great defensive
the gear,
ends.
That's right. According to his whatever page that was, the gear.
I haven't heard from the gear in a while. Have you checked up on the social media pages?
We don't
pages?
Talk about the gear very much anymore. No, I don't know what the gear is up to. No longer friends on Facebook with the gear.
Has he had many safe
block me,
plane
but I'm,
flights, I hope?
I don't know. I hope the one in Denver last week, I hope he wasn't on that one either.
I swear, if you go to his page right now and he talked about that, he can't do that twice.
The gear.
The gear. Oh, the gear. Good time. If you listen to the show a while, I like if it's just the idea that somebody just tuned into the show and they're like, I have no idea what you're talking about. We're talking about the gear. One of the Chiefs' all-time great defensive ends.
Yeah.
Not just some player. The gear. Not just some guy who shows up in town and has one of the number one ranked podcasts in the entire world. The gear.
The gear.
And miraculously survived a plane crash. So, I mean, lots going on. I can't believe this guy should have a 30 for 30 about him himself.
It's very
most interesting man alive.
It really is. It turns out it's very easy to survive a plane crash when you weren't on the plane to begin with. So
I've survived many plane crashes of the planes I wasn't on.
Anyway.
So
I forgot about him for about a minute or two until a couple months until someone texted him today. I hadn't thought about him in a while.
I haven't, but I do kind of enjoy reminiscing about that moment in the show's history. You
someone
know?
On the text line says Dusty was upset with the all 22 guy this morning too. So the all 22 guys are out, man. Camp is here. All the all 22
the
film breakdown guys are definitely out in full force.
The next station event here at 96.5 The Fan is going to be, you can come try to explain what you think you're seeing on the all 22 to a NFL offensive or defensive coordinator.
Someone says, are you gatekeeping NFL experts? No, so you got it all wrong. We're not saying we're NFL experts. We're saying there's
it's the opposite. I'm saying I also don't know what the hell the all 22 is saying.
The guy that pays the $9.99 subscription for the NFL all 22 just because he spends an hour watching film and doesn't mean he's now an NFL expert. And so that's why we're laughing about that. No, we do not
we
claim
get
to
called,
be
we
NFL
get
experts.
Called idiots. Like, we don't know what we're seeing on the field because we don't watch
the film. You guys don't watch the film. You just don't know what you're talking about.
Because I don't come on this radio show, and I'm sure there are radio shows that are unlistenable in this city in which they do things like, well, I see that hand technique, that swipe on the three tech. I'm not doing that. I refuse to do that radio. If you would like to listen to that, I would just tell you to find a different show because that's... I'm not going to do that. But also to pretend like I can't intelligently mention something that's happening on a football field because I didn't see it from a bird's eye view is also insane. There's more than one way to watch a football game or read about it.
I mean, quite
it,
honestly, also sports talk radio, like nobody wants you breaking down technique of the offensive lineman. No. That's, you can go take a nap instead. I think what would happen if we did that.
Tomorrow in the Chiefs Red Half Hour, can I break down what I think are the physical skills each offensive lineman possess. I want to talk about hand strength from one Trey Smith.
No.
That swipe technique.
Stop.
Do you like that I'm just saying buzzwords? Like, I don't know.
The whole genesis of the mock draft sounder when I read the scouting reports is this very thing we're talking about and poking fun at the entire concept of all that. Anyway. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure there's a radio show out there somewhere if you want film breakdowns. I'm sure it exists.
It's tough because there are people who I think actually know what they're looking at.
For sure. That's why we bring them on as guests. And that you can, we have Brian Boldinger on the show. He's a former player. He breaks down film. I trust what he has to say. Ross Tucker.
You just don't trust Mitchell Schwartz.
These
Chiefs
guys.
Stan 99674-3 on. Oh,
just because you can type in your debit card on NFL.com for their all access thing that gives you the film doesn't mean you're an expert now. That's all. Anyway.
Not a side note. I was planning on getting that. I was just trying to talk about how Matt Araiza won the job, you know?
That's it.
Matt Araiza won the punter
job. Thinking of kicking, you notice something, though, that's been happening every day we're up at camp. We get there fairly early, but we don't get there always before the first player out on the football field there in St. Joe.
Dude, Harrison Butker's been getting out to the field at like 7 a.m. And he had told, I think, Matt Derrick or a couple of other reporters that he's been like trying to like find some of the rhythm stuff early, and he's getting out of the practice field early in order to do some of that stuff. I can only figure it's one of two things. Because this is not an every year thing. Harrison Butker has been his team every year. He's not getting out of practice at 7 a.m. every year at training camp. This is a new thing. So one of two things is taking place. Either the quote he gave the other day in talking about the kickoff stuff, in which he said kickoffs have more pressure and are more like a field goal kick, and so he wants that to matter more.
Okay.
Or he realizes he's coming off the worst year of his career and he better pick it up, right? Because kickers sometimes can fall on hard times and be on a different team, not out of the league.
Yeah, and he's the highest paid kicker in football, sure.
Yeah, so you can't have the worst year of your career and be the highest paid kicker in the league and plan to stay a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. They'll find somebody else who does it at 84% is what I think he kicked last year. I think he's like, he's trying to go back to have the career year. He's trying to get back to being the Harrison Butker of 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
I still don't think he was fully healthy last year. I mean, that was very obvious. He had the issue early on, the plant leg, I believe, was the problem. You remember, he kind of like, he'd fall down to his knee, basically, after some kicks, even kicks that he made. I'm not worried about him heading into the season. I think that's something that it would have to become an issue in season for me to have like a real conversation about that. Like, if you're asking my confidence in Harrison Butker heading in,
still pretty high,
very, very high. Still, he's still been one of the best kickers and not the best kicker in football for the last 5 years.
He was league average last year.
I understand. Yeah. I think overall, the health part of it, we're going to find out. Like when he kicks, does he have the same issue? Because it looked weird last year. No film breakdown needed for that. It just looked weird.
Now that I'm looking at it, he's had a really interesting career kicking-wise. The last 5 years of his career, he was the most accurate kicker in football in 2020. He made 92.6% of his kicks. In 2021, he made 89.3%, a really good number, 25 of 28 kicks. 2022, he missed. He only made 75% of his kicks. Bottom 10 in the league. Then he made 94.3%. He made 33 of 35 field goals in 2023, which is a crazy rate. And obviously best in the league. And then only made 84% last year, making 21 of 25 kicks. So there are two of the last 3 years, Gold. He's actually been below average as a kicker, probably on average, over the last 3 years in aggregate. But over the last 5 years, as you mentioned, one of the five best kickers.
And nobody's made bigger kicks in the playoffs. Than Harrison Butker. This team is not in two Super Bowls, two of those Super Bowls in particular, without big time kicks to get them to the Super Bowl, let alone obviously the 49ers Super Bowl in Vegas, where for I would say 85% of the game there was a real conversation that he was going to be the MVP of the game. It was a realistic thing. All right, up next, let's get to what's trending here on Cody and Gold. We'll talk more about the trade deadline and a little all 32 here on 96.5 The Fan.